Good afternoon. Welcome to the Empower Source Philip podcast. I am here this afternoon with two IT security wizards from PIM, from Proactive Information Management. I have Paul Thrasher and Will McCauley. Paul is waving to me. I don't know if anyone knows this, but you can't hear waves.
Come on.
Yeah. So I'm just going to tell the good listeners that he's waving. Do y'all find, this has nothing to do with the podcast, but do y'all find when you're in meetings at the end of them, you're waving to people like they're getting ready to go on the Oregon Trail?
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't ever get out of the meeting. You can't ever get out of the meeting. I don't want to just be like Seacrest out and then just turn it off. We're not going to do this today because we have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. It's everybody's favorite podcast subject, IT security.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. But actually, I think it is important. Some of the things we're going to talk about do affect everybody, whether you're in a business sphere or whether you're at home. All of us have gotten those wonky emails where we're supposed to send money to someone, and all of us probably have parents who've gotten weird emails. I mean, we're not going to touch on the people who really are concerned about my car warranty, but they're in the same thing. So we're going to talk about IT security, how PIM can help with that, and about hacking and all those good things. But first, I want the two of y'all to introduce yourselves and tell us what you do at PIM. Paul, you're up first.
Oh, gosh. Okay. On the spot. My name is Paul Thrasher, and I am a member of the projects team here at Proactive. So I interact with clients, develop a scope of work, get with the rest of the team, develop solutions, and then we implement them.
All right. That sounds good. Will, what do you do?
I am also on the projects team as well, so I do a little bit of the same things that Paul does, not as many as Paul. He's a little bit higher up than me, but some of the same sort of things.
All right. Well, I am the content leader in Empower Source, and I don't do any of that stuff. I talk and write. I use words. So first thing we're going to talk about is, speaking of words that get sent to me in my inbox, one of the things is I've done research and worked with you guys talking about IT security is that the number one way bad actors get into systems is through a person's email inbox. Have I been correctly informed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And so what do you guys see? Is that what you all see a lot when you come up to problems with clients?
We don't see it a lot because, you know, we're pretty good at preventing that to begin with. But when we do get, since maybe it's instances of like that, you know, malware or someone trying to break in, it's usually by email. Almost 9 times out of 10.
Okay. So you just said malware. Pretend like I don't know what you're talking about. That's kind of an accurate assessment of the situation. But tell me what malware is specifically.
It's all kinds of different. There's different kinds of malware, but basically it's any software, you know, program intended to harm your, you know, your systems. It could be a virus. It could be something that, you know, encrypts your whole drive. It could be something that exfiltrates, you know, so it takes out important data without you knowing. So any number of those things.
Now let's say what, so you mentioned that you see it, but most of the time you prevent it. How do I prevent these things getting on my computer?
Proper network and computer configurations like patch management, access control, and then user training is a big part of it.
User training. Okay. So from everything I've read, that the weakest link in an organization is always the people. That's probably true for every industry. But I would think in this, that could also be your strongest asset. So do either of you have maybe a top five things if you were going in talking to an organization? What are the top five things you want employees to know? Like the, hey, don't be a dummy. Do these five things. What are those don't be a dummy things? Not that you would ever say that to anyone.
I mean, the number one thing.
Passwords.
Yeah. If you're unfamiliar with an email, don't just click on links. Don't just open up attachments if you're not sure. Would be my number one preventative measure right there.
So secure passwords. Don't. I'm actually remembering the time when I first started working in PowerSource and I had to come up with my password and I could not do it. And I actually just made Paul. I said, Paul, just make one up. I don't care. That was probably not the way to do it. That's what I hear you saying.
Well, that might not be the way to do it because maybe you're more likely to write it down because you didn't think of it yourself. So you don't want to write passwords down. You want to think of a complex password on your own that you can remember so you don't have to write it down.
So are there any, like, from what I've heard, like, any steps? So, I mean, this is a pretty basic thing, but I think passwords, everybody uses them. We have all of a million of them. Are there any ways you would suggest for people to come up with passwords, things they should do, things they shouldn't do, ways to keep track of the 5 million passwords?
The longer, the better. 12 characters is really the minimum now, which is a lot, but I mean, longer, the better. Uppercase, lowercase, special characters, numbers, more complex, the better. And then as far as remembering them, you can make up mnemonics. I'm not great at it, but if it's a bunch of gibberish characters, you can just kind of think of, like, make up a song almost for it, and that usually works.
Will, do you sing your passwords?
I typically don't sing my passwords, but if need be, I will make a song for it so I can remember it.
Okay. So, I mean, the problem I have found, there's, you know, I've heard this adage, and I don't know if y'all have heard this, but your password should be like your underwear. You should change them often and don't share them and make them exotic.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right.
Those are three good rules right there. Words to live by.
Yeah. Words to live by. You're going to get that. You're going to have that cross stitch on a pillow. Make your passwords like your underwear. And don't leave them out on your desk. You know,
no, that's right. Exactly. No one wants to
put them away. Lock them up.
Don't take them out at work. I mean, there's so many places we could go with this, but the truth is you've got uppercase, lowercase, special characters. My problem is you have to change them often, but I have 5 million of them and I always get on my phone. It's like, you've used this password in 6 places and it's been involved in a data breach. And then I have to go change everything. I used to have a system that's probably not good. I would pick a theme for the year. So like 1 year, the theme, this is not, I just would like to say, this is not my theme for 2021. Okay. So this, these have all been changed. So Packers, try, eat your heart out. Nothing. 1 year, my theme was Hamilton. So one password set was Rochambeau, which, by the way, was brilliant.
I love that.
The code is Rochambeau.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I felt like that was just, I loved it. But then I would spell, I would make the, instead of having an O, make it a 0.
Right.
And have, instead of having an E, make it a 3. That's one of the ways that I have done that. But it is difficult. Do you suggest using a password manager? Are those secure, not secure?
You can. There are some like password vaults that you, I mean, I've seen some that you can pay for, like free apps, but that's an option. You could put your passwords in that, keep them somewhat secure.
Okay.
Now your only problem there is, what if that one password that gets you in the vault gets out? So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're out of luck.
So what I hear you saying is I just have to memorize a bunch of stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And the more you do it, I mean, the more you do it, you'll just remember it, you know?
Yeah. Just become a pro at it.
I think we've just highlighted the flaw in the system, boys. is that I'm supposed to change these often, make them super long, make them super complicated, and there's a lot of them. So, okay.
And it's recommended on top of that, that you enable two-factor authentication too.
Exactly. Right?
So...
Correct. That's another thing that you guys definitely recommend. And I will say it keeps things secure. It also, it keeps things annoying. Now here's one. It just adds the double layer of I've already signed in. Why do I have to do this? But okay, here's a question. And I actually have had this question. This is real life. I haven't written this down anywhere. It's right off my head. Is it dangerous? I have an iPhone and I get the double, I'm signing in, say, to my Office 365 account or whatever, and it wants my double authentication, and then it texts me the code, right? Now, it automatically feeds into it. Should I open my text and then type in the numbers, or is it okay if I just press? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Just like the notification bubble.
Right. Like it just, it autofills it from my text. Is that a security flaw? And if so, do you know how to fix it?
It's like grabbing the number from the text message and you just press it. Yeah, I did that earlier. I mean, I don't know if there is a security flaw with it. I typically will do that. But like not all websites will have that feature on it as well. So.
Okay. So I need to have my secure passwords, have double authentication up as many places as I can. There was another thing you suggested. I talk a lot, so I may have walked over it. Okay. they call me word girl at work. There's a reason. Okay. So other things to avoid. You said don't click on weird links.
If you don't recognize the email or if it looks right, but something's off, like capitalization, spacing, just grammar, or, and then you look at like the sender and it looks right, but something's not quite right. Just assume it is not correct and don't open anything in it. It'd be better to contact the original sender, through a different email, see if they really sent you something, better than taking a chance.
That makes sense. I'm thinking of a time when I clicked on a link that was incorrect.
I have been too.
Everybody, it's tempting. It's like, oh man, even if you know it's wrong, it's like, I kind of want to see where it goes.
Okay, in my defense, the email looked really, okay, the hard part about this is maybe 45 minutes prior to opening this email, I had edited a blog post someone from PIM had written about not doing the very thing I did.
Yeah.
So, yep. Here's that. But I clicked up because it was an email sent to me about a contract, and I get these, and this is a normal thing for me to open up. However, once I clicked it, this was actually really good. It didn't go anywhere because PIM had installed Barracuda. That's a harp song to me. I don't really know. It's something y'all, don't forget that. We're going to explain what that is. And so it didn't allow me to open anything up. But then when I went back up, once I saw that, I was like, oh, no, I'm a dummy. Yeah. I'm a dummy. And I went and I looked at the email and I was like, oh, OK, they spelled SharePoint with a zero instead of an O. And it was very.
It looked real.
It looked legitimate-ish.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a second look. And, sometimes you'll click on the link and maybe nothing will happen, but something is happening in the background.
Yeah, so I was very thankful that, that popped up, but then I...
Barracuda got it, yeah.
Barracuda got it, yeah. And the harp song came on, and then someone from PIM, I think, came onto my computer. Actually, I think it was Carson. Mm-hmm. Came onto my computer, ran a scan, and told me that nothing bad had happened. Is that pretty much the best case scenario? Because it's more likely that y'all are going to be able to fix a problem than I'm not going to be.
But if you clicked on,
a link, is that sort of how it happens?
Yeah, usually someone will click on it and, either they won't click on it, they'll see it, they'll send it to us, ask us if it's a legit email, and then we run some scans on it. It's usually not if they're already questioning it. Or if they've already clicked on it, usually they'll reach out to us and say, I shouldn't have clicked on this. Or we also usually get an alert through the, the antivirus, anti-malware system.
So PIM offers that. Now, is this, I'm just going to say words. does this, it's like a firewall protect me from those types of things or no? Is that something completely different? And if it's something completely different, I would like for you to tell me what that thing is.
It's all part of it. So there's the firewall, right? Then there's your antivirus that's on your workstation or your PC itself. So they work together. Depending on where the email is coming through, it might go through email filtering prior to even getting to your network. So it's multi-layered.
The thing I guess that scares me about that type of hacking is they're using me. I'm just giving out the information willingly.
Sure.
Not willingly, but if they identify themselves as a bad guy, then it would be easier. But I guess that's why you guys have jobs.
It's done on purpose. I mean, that's social engineering through a phishing campaign. And they don't expect somebody that's tech savvy to fall for it. They expect someone, you know, they send out, what, 10 million of them or something, and 1,000 people click on them. I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
So what are some signs? Let's say I'm a business and one of my employees, and I am not, I'm a regular business and I have not employed PIM to help with my security. So someone is working and they click on a link and it goes to something, but maybe it just, like you said, it just shows up, it does nothing, but then the malware's on their computer. What are some signs that a company might see that they've been hacked?
Yeah.
If it's not like a ransomware and something's popping up saying you've been hacked, give me all your money.
Just over time. Yeah, sure. Random pop-ups, random applications, application slowness, system slowness, the mouse moving randomly, just anything that's really out of the ordinary, like especially if it's all together, like system slowness and the mouse is being odd or something,
right?
It's usually a pretty good sign.
So not just system slowness, because that could just be you've uploaded all your Spring Break photos.
And again, sometimes there's absolutely nothing that happens, but if you see those signs, that's a very good indicator.
Okay. So what you mentioned malware, what are some other types, and we've talked about phishing scams. What are some other types of things that you guys see in your line of work that you guys are having to fix, that businesses might want to be aware of?
I've seen a lot of, well, I guess this might be kind of the same thing as phishing, but coming from like corporate leaders, like I know where I previously worked, we had a bunch of issues where we were getting emails from the CEO requesting us to like go buy a gift for somebody or like send payment to this address or whatever. So, I mean, that's kind of the same thing as phishing, but just coming from a higher up person within an organization, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, most of our stuff, I think, comes in through phishing campaigns, any of the errors, you know, malware that we get. But I mean, the type of malware we've seen is crypto ransomware, where it'll encrypt your entire workstation, and then you've either got to try to recover the data, hope the hackers don't release it, or you have to pay them. I mean, the FBI says you shouldn't, but I mean, that's something we have come across in the past.
Okay, so are there ways to, I mean, it sounds like the best way to recover from these types of attacks is just first is just not have one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, avoid the attack.
Educate.
That's right. Yeah.
Like to educate. I mean, it seems like everybody right. Talk like the first, what's your number one tip for IT yeah. security? It's like educate your employees.
Because I mean, we don't get a lot of, I mean, you can get some of this stuff if you were to download products off of third parties, you know, software off of third party sites or that kind of thing. But we don't get a whole lot of that. It's mainly user education and phishing.
Okay. What about, software updates, that important? Like sometimes I'll see things pop up, and to be honest with you, I get scared that like, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing that. So sometimes I will message poor Alicia at M. I'm like, my computer just told me to do this update. And she's like, yeah, you need to do the update.
She's great.
Like, well, you know, I'm like, well, I just want to make sure that my machine is not lying to me.
Right.
Updates are critical. It's patch management. So we have a tool that'll do that for you. But if you don't and you see that updates, yeah, definitely update it because it'll prevent security flaws that Microsoft has discovered. Yeah, it's one of the best tools you can do, best things you can do.
Now, are there ways to, you didn't ever answer my question about firewalls.
What about them?
Like, you're telling me that firewalls don't always combat me being a dummy. That's the way I want to phrase that.
So you can set up a firewall. If a firewall, so it'll inspect all of the data going through if you want it to, so it'll catch malware that way. As far as emails go, if it's running as your, I suppose, your email server, then it would catch it. But typically your email would have its own filtering on it. And then if something gets through and a bad program starts running on your computer, that's when the firewall will catch it. So
are there different types of firewalls?
Yes, All different kinds.
Whole bunch.
We use what's called a next generation firewall. Yeah.
What is a next generation firewall? What does PIM use? There we go. There's the question. Next generation
firewall, so that means it's a layer 7 device, which means that instead of just checking out the data that's going over, like, you know, your wires to the internet, that kind of thing, it actually looks into the data itself. So it checks the applications as well. So it knows what's going on rather than just the data passing through it. Basically, it's more insightful.
More insightful. Okay. That's what we want. We want more insight.
Yeah.
And less dummy. Now, I know a thing that annoys me that is to keep me safe. I am like y'all's most, I'm the reason why y'all have jobs. Just say thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Like in terms of, I often get emails that I want to receive from, say, news sources that I've signed up for, like to just say Axios.com or Vox or some sort of news site. And I will see it and it will say Barracuda has quarantined, which a year and a half ago that word meant nothing to me.
Now you're very familiar.
Yes, has quarantined. Is that because you've put certain things on like a blacklist or a whitelist? Like, what? Talk to me about what that means in terms of what you. I know it's for my own personal safety. Clearly, I'm a danger to myself.
A lot of advertising stuff, like marketing, is just classified as spam, and so the
bulk.
Yeah, or bulk spam. So the Barracuda in this case is just flagging it as what it sees as junk and keeping it from you. So that can be whitelisted and then it'll be delivered to you.
Okay. Yeah, now I think because I've opened it so many times, it knows that I need
to. That can be part of it too. But I mean, say you sign up for Target and they send you twice a day, they send you a coupon, right? I mean, no, to somebody else, I mean, that's a ton of email. So that would look like a spam marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that particular incident, it would be. I'm a big fan of the unsubscribe button on that. I mean, Target still gets all my money, so. So, are there any things you would like to say, like when you are talking to clients? You know, I've already said, you know, what are your sort of, make sure your passwords are secure, don't click on suspicious links. Any other final don't be a dummy words? You're not saying them, but what would make your job easier? Things that. Like when you get to a site and you see a problem and you think, if they had just done this.
I see two security concerns. I see a lot of shared domain accounts or network accounts, which are not good because say, you know, Elizabeth, you and I share an account and then you do a bunch of stuff. I mean, that you shouldn't have done, who's going to be able to say that you did it or I did it, right? So you can't be accountable for it. So it violates, what was it, non-repudiation, I think is the term in this case.
Okay.
So that's a problem we see. And then I know Will and I have seen a lot of passwords written down. So that violates security policy called clean desk policy.
Passwords.
Yeah. a lot of sticky notes or just sit down and like pick a CD up or something and there's a password right underneath the mouse pad. I mean, it's not
everywhere.
I may or may not have picked up a laptop this morning from a former coworker, and it has the password to it on a sticky note.
Oh yeah.
Right there in the MacBook.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'll change it and then I'll throw that away. So it will be secure. Yeah, there was one more thing that I wanted to ask you guys. Okay. This is not on the script. This is a really hard question, but I feel like I want to know how often helping people with their IT, how often would you say the words, have you tried turning it off and on again?
It's my go-to.
Yeah, a lot of the time. Try like restarting it first and see if that fixes it.
Like, that's a real thing?
Yeah, so if there's a bunch of things going on and it's like, oh, I don't know why, it's probably just needs to be restarted. Otherwise, you spend hours resolving issues which aren't even issues. Yeah.
Yep. So like me, sometimes my computer just needs a nap?
It just needs a nap. It just needs a refresh.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there.
I feel like I've learned so much today.
It gets tired, too.
It gets tired, too. Yeah.
We're all just computers and it need naps.
Yeah, I mean, how often... How often am I supposed to be shutting down my computer?
don't shut mine down too often. I'll restart it like every couple of days, but for the most part, I typically don't shut it all the way down too often.
Yeah, it's I mean, Windows pushes updates like every Tuesday, but you know, it's really whatever up to you. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule. I mean, think about your phone. I mean, do you ever turn your phone off? Not really, right? But there's a bunch of temporary files and stuff that get built up over time. And so, I mean, just every so often, or if you notice any performance issues, just restart it.
I mean, I do find that sometimes that Teams will be being wonky. I guess yesterday for me,
restart, right?
Teams was just, I would click on it and it was just a black screen. I'm like, that's not helpful. And yep. I tried switching because I had different monitors. So I tried switching it and I was like, well, guess it's time to get a snack from the kitchen because I'm going to have to restart. So I was a little bit happy.
That happens with my Teams as well. It's just the program getting temporary files and it's just causing issues. And just restart the program or the computer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen. I enjoyed talking with you today. And I hope that this is the only way we see each other. Like, I never have to message you and I'm like, hey, Will, remember me, I'm the dummy that you talked to.
Remember that link that we were talking about? I clicked on like three of them and now my computer blew up.
I'm like, I was trying to get my cousin that I've never met out of jail. He is really bad.
Postal money order right away.
The prince in Nigeria needs me.
Mm-hmm. He says if I send money, he'll double my pay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, which I just found that interesting that actually when I was researching that Prince of Nigeria thing, and I think this is important. You should tell all of your clients. Nigeria does not actually have a royal family.
Oh, no. Yeah.
There is no prince in Nigeria. They have an elected, they have a president.
Yeah.
So, you know, those hackers, they are the dummies.
They are.
Crime are they just doesn't pay. Us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, gentlemen, for coming and for stopping by and talking to me and letting me know some things to do that I can keep my workspace secure in the IT realm. And once again, I am Elizabeth Johnson Phillips with EmpowerSource. And I was talking with Paul Thrasher and Will McCauley of PIM, Proactive Information Management, my favorite managed services provider. That's a lot of words. And people, you're ready for all the words?
Yes.
You can find them at www.proactiveinfo.com, but wait for it, there's a hyphen. So it's www.proactiveinfo.com. And it's a beautiful newly designed website that is secure and has no suspicious links. So you should find them at it.
We won't trick you.
they are not tricky. They're just helpful and delightful. All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hmm.